Oh, grace and mercy and peace be yours this day from God our Father and from his unique Son, our eternal Savior Jesus. Amen. Hey, good morning, St. Luke's. And welcome to each and every one of you. If you're here every week or first time ever, I'm glad you're here. My name is Pastor Dan, and we are in the middle of a series looking at the book of Galatians and seeing what our identity is, who we are according to God's word. And the goal throughout this series, we're in week three, but the goal throughout the series is that every Saturday evening or Sunday morning, you would be able to walk out of here saying, I am, and then fill in the blank according to God's word, the identity that he speaks into your life and calls you to be, and have a sense of what that looks like and what that means as we live out our identity. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at what it means to be able to say, I am baptized. I am baptized. That as we are baptized, we are clothed in Christ. We have put on Christ, and we have been covered in who he is and what he has done, and so that the work of Christ and the nature of Christ and the reality of Christ is what defines who we are. And God has placed that new reality upon us in his holy name as we are baptized. I am baptized. And last week, Pastor Aaron unpacked for us what it means to be able to say, I am righteous. Now, righteous and righteousness might not be words you use in your water cooler conversations around the office or at breakfast table with the kids, and yet righteousness is not only through and through in the Bible, it's something that we aspire to. Righteousness is this idea of wanting to be enough, wanting to be kind of right and whole as God created us to be. To be righteous is to be kind of right on. It's baseball season, so there'll be a lot of baseball metaphors coming your way. But I think of Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing. That's how you swing a baseball bat. You watch Griffey swing and you say, that is right on. That is righteous. That's exactly how it should be done. In the same way as God has created us to be humans, to be creatures in his own image, by his design, he's got a will for our lives that we would be right on as he's created us. And as Pastor Aaron shared, if we fail, as Galatians teaches us, if we fail in one aspect of being totally righteous, We fail in the whole thing. And yet Christ Jesus chose to bear in his body the curse of our sin, that he would gift us with his righteousness, so that God sees you. He sees you as his perfect child because there's this overlay of Christ's righteousness upon you. And today we're going to look at what it means to be able to say, I am family. I am family. I am baptized, I am righteous, and I am family. Family's been in the news a little bit this week. Is it Archie? I forgot the name until last night. They had to remind me. Archie is the newborn prince. Is he a prince? Is that his title? I don't know what he is. There's the royal, if you haven't paid attention, there's the royal family over in England. And who is Archie's mom and dad? What? Meghan Merkel and Prince Harry. So we've got Prince Harry, is he grandson of Queen Elizabeth II? Is that right? Okay, royal family. Archie is born, and it's been headlines over and over again, and I tend to not click on a lot of clickbait where it's like, can you believe Prince Harry named his son, like dot, dot, dot. I'm like, I guess I'll have to ask him on Sunday who they named him. So Archie was born, and he's this little prince person, and he's sixth or seventh in line for the throne, whatever that's worth. I love my parents. We get along pretty well most of the time. But in terms of, like, winning or losing the family you're born into, like, Archie's got a head start. You know what I mean? Like, I love my mom and dad. I love my childhood, I love my life, but it would have been nice to have been born into his family, right? I mean, the whole world is watching, like, man, I want to be a prince, I want to be a princess. I know there's going to be heartaches and headaches, and he's going to be in a mess because we live in a broken world, but He didn't get to choose to be born into his family, and you didn't get to choose to be born into your family, and yet the family we're a part of says a lot about who we are. Like his, in some ways, his identity for his whole life is already set. And when you were born not to a prince, your identity was set. You have a different course than Archie's going to have. Our family is a huge part of who we are. And it turns out, biblically, as we read the Bible, Old Testament and New, the family you want to be part of, it's not the royal family over in England, but throughout the Bible, the family you want to be part of is Abraham's family. That's the family. That's where it's at. And we learned this as kids. I learned this as a kid through a song that we sang in Sunday school and vacation Bible school that I didn't understand and I still don't quite understand, but maybe you sang the song too. Father Abraham and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. And then you start shaking limbs. It's not in the Bible. But you start wiggling a limb, and then you add in another limb, and then you add in another limb, and you just keep singing, and then you add in all your limbs, and your head's shaking, and you're spinning in circles, and we're singing about Father Abraham. Now, the song obviously stuck. Most of us know it, and if you don't know it, you think this is like a cult. You're like, what is going on around here? But there's this Father Abraham song that we sang. It's lovely, and it's catchy. And as a kid, I'm thinking, my dad's name is Don, and my mom's name is Terry, and I don't have any Abrahams in my family, and we're doing this. Like, I'm going to skip this the rest of the sermon. I'm just going to say that. You were like, remember that Abraham sermon where he did that the whole time? No. But in the Bible, Abraham's family is where it's at. That's the family to be part of. So much so that when God met Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, Moses takes his sandals off, you know, he draws near because the bush is on fire, it's not being consumed. When God introduces himself to Moses, before he says, I am who I am, God's first way of identifying himself to Moses is he says, I'm the God of Abraham. He could say, I'm the God who created everything, and that might have been more impressive. He could say, I'm the God who's going to judge you on the last day, so shut up and listen. He could have flexed his divine powers in any number of ways to make himself known to Moses, but what God says is, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God makes himself known in relationship to Abraham's family. God chooses to be known in this child of his. I've experienced this in a few ways playing on the playground as a dad. When I often learn other parents through the kids, like, oh, you're Charlie's dad. Oh, are you Micah's dad? You know, like I learn the kids' names and eventually maybe I learn the parents' names. But you're identified by this child of yours that you sometimes are proud to associate with and sometimes not so much. Not even listening. God chooses to be known through this family, through the family of Abraham and his son Isaac and his son Jacob. That's how God makes himself known. And it goes back to Genesis 12. We're going to flip in our Bibles a little bit today, Genesis and Galatians. But if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 12, it's on page 8, which is awesome. So many of our readings are on page like 900-something. So to have a reading on page 8 reminds us, oh yeah, there's a lot more in the story. In Genesis chapter 12, look at verses 1 through 3 here. This is when God first calls Abram, whose name is going to be Abraham, but I think you can keep up. Abram, Abraham, same person. It says the call of Abraham, or Abram, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God shows up to this guy, Abram, who's older in life, and he's got his wife, Sarai, and God calls Abram to leave his family, to leave his extended family, to leave the land that he's known, and he calls him away from his family to a new land, a new place, and God's going to start a new family, and God's going to bless this family. And through this family, God is going to exact judgment on the earth. He's going to bless those who bless. He's going to curse those who curse. And through this family of Abram, verse 3, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God calls him out of his family. God's going to start a new family. And through this family, all families are going to be blessed. Turn the page to Genesis 15. So after God first calls Abram, Abram does a few good things, some not so good things, kind of doing life. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he, God, brought him, Abram, outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him as righteousness. So God shows up to Abram, whom he called in chapter 12, and he says that I've got a reward for you, that I'm going to be your shield, and that basically God's going to pour blessing into the life of Abraham. And Abraham says, what's the point? When I die, I've got nobody to pass that on to. So whatever gifts you're going to give me, God, it's going to be short-lived. Abraham at this point is getting older in life, and he and his wife Sarai have no children. And it's interesting to think, Abraham's already kind of written his will. Abraham already knows, when I die, who's going to get my stuff? And it's this Eliezer of Damascus that we don't know anything about, except that he's probably somehow part of Abraham's extended family, and Abraham doesn't seem too excited about that. It's like some like snotty nephew that all his stuff's going to go to. Like if you give me a blessing, it's just going to go to this Eliezer of Damascus. Ugh. I don't want that guy to get all the stuff. And so God says, no. This man is not going to be your heir. Don't worry. Your very own son shall be your heir. And then he does that famous scene where, let's go look at the stars. Start counting, I dare you. Have you seen stars recently? It's been a few years for me. I mean, I've seen a few here and there, but you got to get away from the lights. Have you been away from the lights to see stars? Gosh. For me, one of the first times was the Grand Canyon. One of the last times I saw him was out at hiking in Colorado. And it's just the whole canopy, just the whole heavens full of stars. God says, start counting. And once, you know, that's how many you're going to get. In verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So per Galatians and Pastor Aaron's message last week, Abraham here has righteousness. Abraham is able to say, I am righteous. Because he's believed the word of the Lord. He's trusted the promises of God. And as we trust the promises of God and we hear his word and take him at his word, so God credits that to us as righteousness. We are right on as his creatures when we hear his word. We're going to flip over now, same page, I guess, Genesis 17. So God called Abram and said, Leave your family, I'm going to make you a family, and through your family all people are going to be blessed. And a little bit goes by, and Abraham's like, sounds great, I don't really have a family, though. And God says, don't worry, you're going to have a child, you're going to have an heir, and through him, all this is going to happen. Chapter 17, Now Abraham is 99 years old, still childless. And God changes his name to Abraham, and God institutes this covenant of circumcision. And now, as of Genesis chapter 17, God's word to Abraham is that this is going to be a mark for you in your flesh. This is going to be an act of obedience through which you're going to be set apart as my people. And so you're going to be circumcised. Your son is going to be circumcised. The people who join your family are going to be circumcised. This is an act of obedience that's going to let you and the people around you know that you're part of my family. And so the family continues. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has 12 kids. And then the family moves to Egypt, and they multiply, and they leave Egypt, and you know lots of the story. Well, as the story unfolds, as the family of Abraham is growing, as this family through whom blessing is going to come to all people continues to extend, some people are born into that family. And other people kind of look into that family from the outside. And the question becomes, if you're not born into that family, how do you get in on that? If this is God's chosen family, if this is the family through whom blessing comes, how can I be a part of that if I wasn't born into that family? You know, like you can't show up at Buckingham Palace or wherever royal people live over there and say, hey, I heard in the news you're accepting new members of the family. It doesn't work that way. How do we get in on this family of Abraham thing that God is up to? And by the time we get to the New Testament in the book of Galatians, people are coming up with an answer, and their answer is kind of based on the Bible, but not quite all the way. So by the time we get to the time of Jesus and after Jesus and Paul and Galatians, people are saying, how do we get in on Abraham's family? How do we be part of that? They turn back in their Bibles, and they got as far back as Genesis 17, and they said, oh, okay, well, Abraham was circumcised, and Abraham's children were circumcised, and so apparently if you want to be part of Abraham's family, you need to be circumcised. That if you want to be part of this thing that God is up to through this family, you better do what Abraham did. And so Paul is wrestling with this question of how do we get to be part of Abraham's family, and his answer is really going to be twofold. First is, it's not through circumcision, but through faith. It's not through any act of obedience or any work that we perform. It's through faith. And secondly, it's not really about being part of Abraham's family as much as it is about being part of God's family. God is working through Abraham and his family. And if you want to get in on that, it's not about circumcision or any other act of obedience or any other work that you can perform. It's by faith. And secondly, in the end, it's not really about being part of Abraham's family at all. It's about being part of God's family. And so the people went back and they said, Genesis 17, this is it. This is God's covenant of circumcision. If you want to be part of Abraham's family, do what Abraham did. But if you go back just before that, we read in chapter 15, God made a promise. Said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a people. I'm going to make you a family. You don't even have a kid yet. But Abraham believed the Lord, right? And the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. And even before that, even before God spoke his promise, he simply called Abraham. He just claimed him out of the blue, and God said, you, I pick you. I'm going to bless you. And he made promises. And as Abraham believed and received those promises, that was righteousness. And it wasn't until later that an act of obedience came and a mark came that would set him apart. And so Galatians chapter 3, we're going to look at two little paragraphs here in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Paul's answering this question, how do you get to be part of Abraham's family? Part one is it's not through circumcision, it's through faith. And part two, it's not about Abraham's family anyway, it's about being part of God's family. So Galatians chapter 3, starting at the first verse. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. It's kind of aggressive. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So the Spirit of God gives life. Did you receive that Spirit through works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the answer is it's through hearing with faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, if we can grant that the Spirit is the one who called you and the Spirit spoke promises and you believe those and that faith brings you into the relationship with God, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Paul's saying, we can grant that the Spirit got this thing going. The Spirit has given you faith. Are you now telling God, I'll take it from here? Having begun by the Spirit, are we being perfected by the flesh? If the Spirit of God created faith, are you saying, move over, Jesus, let me have the wheel. I got it. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. To be part of Abraham's family is not to just do the motions that Abraham did, it's to believe in the God that Abraham believed in. To be part of Abraham's family is to have faith and trust in the same God who spoke promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not about DNA markers or obedience markers, it's about the promises of God received in faith. Oh, and by the way, it's not about being part of Abraham's family anyway, it's about being part of the family of God. Galatians chapter 4. I mean then that the heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave, though he's the owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. This is kind of the cultural thing in Paul's day, that when you're a kid, yeah, maybe stuff's yours, but you're still a kid, so you don't really count for much yet. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. When we were kind of spiritually immature before Christ was made known to us, we were enslaved to all kinds of stuff. Verse 4. This is great. Verse 4. This is like Mother's Day Bible verse, by the way. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the family of God now. This is the Son of God who was born of a woman. Happy Mother's Day, Mary. How cool is that? The Mother of God, Mother of Jesus. At the right time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, to redeem us. Now, I realize looking around the room this morning that probably more than half of you are women. And it's potentially weird to hear, like, hey, you're a son. Like, through this son, you have received adoption as sons, so you're no longer a slave, but a son. And I don't know what that sounds like through female ears. Potentially weird, I would imagine. I don't know. Let me unpack a couple ideas of why I think this language is helpful and maybe how we make sense of it. I think it's most... Here's why I think Paul uses this language of son here. Because other places he calls us children of God in the more gender-neutral way. But in verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. The context here is God and the Son. And this Son was born of Mary, and it's through the Son that we receive adoption as sons. And so we can extrapolate and expand that to say, yes, sons and daughters, and we can say, yes, you are children of God, but the language here is narrowly son so that we don't miss the connection. Through the Son of God, you receive adoption as sons of God. We're not just generically children of God because we're created in his image. We're not just children of God because we try to be good people. No, you are a son through the Son. So our status as children of God in the family is explicitly through Jesus as the Son of God. And so that's why he calls us sons, so that we don't miss the connection between our relationship with God and the Son of God. The second reason is kind of culturally bound in Paul's day, that in that first century time, Lily wouldn't have been adopted as the first child of Richard and Becca. Because you didn't adopt a daughter to pass on your family line, you adopted a son. That's how it worked. You would adopt a son, and through the son, your name would carry on, and they would receive everything. And so because that's how their system worked, it's not a good system, and I don't think we should follow that system, but because of that's the way their system worked, it made sense for Paul's audience that if you want to be an heir of God and receive God, that happened through this adoption as sons. So whether you're a son or a daughter, male or female, we're brought into the family of God through faith in Jesus. Here's the thing about family. I'll just wrap this up real quick, and we can talk more. Family's weird. You know, like, that was my family member who left. She's like, you're telling me. I chose her to be part of my family, and that I'm thankful for that. There's a lot of other family members I didn't choose. Like, I've got two brothers, and sometimes I answer their phone calls, and sometimes I let it go. And as kids, we fought all the time. And that's part of family. And there might be people in the room, maybe sitting close to you or two sections away that you're not making eye contact with, that you wouldn't have chosen them to be part of our family of faith. Because God adopts you as his daughter, and he adopts you as his son, and he doesn't ask you to if you want to be siblings. He just brings you to himself through Jesus, and now we're stuck. And we're gonna be stuck. Like we're gonna be family forever. So we can start figuring stuff out now. Like you can avoid somebody for a little bit, but we're in this together, and family's weird, and so it makes things uncomfortable, but family, we talk through stuff. We fight through stuff, we argue through stuff, we love each other through stuff. That's who we are. And so as a family of faith here, we're going to keep loving each other and arguing together and working through our stuff together. And we don't just avoid each other, because that's not family. And so the rest of Galatians talks about how we love each other and how the fruit of the Spirit work in our lives and how we bear one another's burdens. And so we're still struggling to be family. But you are family. I am family. Not through my obedience, but through the faith in Jesus. And I'm not just part of Abraham's family, but part of the family of God, and we're family of God together. So let's pray, if you wouldn't mind. Father God, we thank you for the Spirit that you send into our hearts that cries out to you as our Abba. We thank you that through Jesus we've been adopted, and we receive the fullness of what it means to be part of your family. Help us to see ourselves as your family, and God, perhaps even more miraculously, help us to see others as part of your family too. Help us to love well as a family in Christ. To your glory would it be so. Amen. Would you stand now and receive a blessing of our Lord?